KSDP, 8:30 a.m. in Sandpoint. K201DA, 88.1 FM in King Cove. KOLD, 91.9 FM in Cold Bay. KFPS, 88.1 FM in Falls Pass. And KKQA, 88.1 FM in Accutan, Alaska.
It's time now for your community window here on KSDP. Starting with job openings, the QT Tribe of Sandpoint is looking for a grant writer, an executive director, an environmental assistant, and an administrative assistant. The Shimmigan Corporation of Sandpoint is hiring a bartender. The Palouf Harbor Tribe is hiring a tribal environmental coordinator. The City of Sandpoint is hiring a part-time pull-tab sales assistant. The King Cove Department of Public and Safety is looking to hire a certified police officer. Interested applicants can contact the King Cove PD at 907-497-2210. EATS is hiring a behavior health trainee and a community health representative. Both of those positions can be in Sandpoint or King Cove. They're also hiring a clinical information clerk for King Cove, a community health aide for Falls Pass and Nelson Lagoon, and a clinical information clerk slash janitor for Cold Bay. Community announcements. Sandpoint, there will be no Boys and Girls Club this Thursday and Friday. The Sandpoint School is hosting a sports award night tonight at 6 p.m. at the school's NPR. And the City of Sandpoint is having bingo this Friday. Doors open at 5:30. Bingo starts at 6:30. And today is May 15th, 2025. Happy birthday to Kenny O, and happy birthday to Asia Walls. And that's all for the Community Window. If you have anything you'd like for us to put on the air or web, you can contact us through email at cw@apradio.org. You can call us at 907-383-5737, or you can still fax us at 907-383-5271. Also, look for updates, meeting archives, and more at apradio.org. I'm Amy Mack. Thanks for listening and have a great day. It's time now for your weather, tide predictions, and sunrise and sunset. Starting with your coastal water forecast, courtesy of the National Weather Service of Anchorage, Alaska. From Sidkenap to Castle Cape, small craft advisory today. Today, south winds 20 knots, seas 8 feet. Tonight, southwest winds 20 knots, seas 7 feet. And Friday, west winds 15 knots, seas 6 feet. Castle Cape to Cape Tolstoy, small craft advisory through tonight. Today, southwest winds 25 knots, seas 6 feet. Tonight, southwest winds 25 knots, seas 7 feet. And Friday, southwest winds 15 knots, seas 5 feet. Cape Tolstoy to Cape Sarashef, small craft advisory through tonight. Today, west winds 30 knots, seas 8 feet. Tonight, southwest winds 25 knots, seas 6 feet. And Friday, southwest winds 15 knots, seas 5 feet. Port Hedland and Nelson Lagoon, small craft advisory through tonight. Today, southwest winds 25 knots, seas 7 feet with rain. Tonight, southwest winds 25 knots, seas 8 feet. And Friday, southwest winds 20 knots, seas 6 feet. Your detailed forecast for the Alaska Peninsula. Today, a chance of rain, mainly after 4 p.m. Mostly cloudy with highs near 42. Southwest winds 15 to 20 miles per hour, with wind gusts as high as 30. Tonight, a chance of rain mainly before 7 p.m. Mostly cloudy with lows around 38. Southwest winds 15 to 20 miles per hour, with wind gusts as high as 25. And Friday, a slight chance of rain before 1 p.m. Partly sunny, highs near 44. Southwest winds around 10 miles per hour, with gusts as high as 20. Your tide predictions for the Pop-Off Island. There was a high tide at 3:41 a.m. at 7 foot 2 inches. A low at 11:03, a minus tide of 11 inches. A high tide at 6 o'clock at 5 foot 1 inch. And a low tonight at 10:19 at 3 feet 5 inches. Your sun rose at 6:31 this morning and your sun will set at 10:46, bringing us up to 16 hours and 15 minutes of daylight hours. And that was your weather, tide predictions, and sunrise and sunset here on KSDP and KAEB. I'm Amy Mack. Thanks for listening and have a great day.
Coming up on KUCB News, an Oregon-based company is showing interest in King Cove's shuttered Peter Pan seafood plant. And a bill making its way through Congress could cause thousands of Alaskans to lose health insurance. Stay tuned.
Local programming on KUCB is made possible by the Aleutian Housing Authority, providing affordable housing services in the Aleutian Pribilof Islands region and working hard to create employment, job training opportunities, and promote economic development. More information at ahaak.org.
Good afternoon, and thanks for joining us. It's Thursday, May 15th, 2025. This is KUCB 89.7 FM. I'm your host, Andy Lusk, with some local news from Unalaska. An Oregon-based company is showing interest in the shuttered Peter Pan seafood plant in the community of King Cove, but city officials aren't celebrating just yet. King Cove Mayor Warren Wilson said during a borough assembly meeting last week that representatives from Pacific Seafood visited the plant the previous week.
They were very impressed with the plant, and they are moving forward with some talks on acquiring the facility.
The facility has been closed since January of last year, dealing a major economic blow to the Alaska Peninsula community of about 800 residents. City Administrator Gary Hennick says the plant generated about 70% of the city's revenue.
We're not quite living on borrowed time yet, but we're getting pretty darn close.
He says he's encouraged by the interest, but cautioned that even if there was a deal for the plant, it is too late to restart operations for the upcoming salmon season. It opens early next month.
Common sense just tells me it's just not meant to happen for this summer salmon season.
Pacific Seafood has expanded in recent years. The family-owned company says it operates about 40 facilities across the U.S., Canada, and Europe. That includes a former Trident plant in Kodiak it acquired last year. The company did not respond to requests for comment. Processors haven't announced prices for the upcoming salmon season, but fishermen are expecting a higher payout for sockeye this year, following several years that saw historic lows. An estimated 14,000 Alaskans and millions of Americans would lose their health insurance from one feature of the Republican budget reconciliation bill now pending in Congress. Alaska Public Media's Washington correspondent Liz Ruskin reports.
That element is a requirement that certain Medicaid recipients prove that they worked at least 80 hours each month. U.S. Senator Bernie Sanders confronted Health Secretary Robert Kennedy about it at a Senate hearing.
Is throwing 13 million Americans off of the health care they have, poor and working class people, keeping America healthy?
Well, I haven't seen that number. I've seen the number 8 million. And here are the people, the cuts are not true cuts. The cuts are eliminations of waste, abuse, and fraud.
The idea of requiring poor people to work to receive public benefits like food assistance has been around since at least the 1980s. The first Trump administration encouraged states to require it for Medicaid. Catherine Hempstead is a senior policy officer at the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, which funded a study of what happened when Arkansas and New Hampshire added a Medicaid work requirement in 2018 and 2019. Hempstead says most people who lost their coverage actually did work or were exempt, but they couldn't report it properly.
That's the really sort of cruel and sad thing about work requirements, is the way that it creates savings for the federal government is really this collateral damage of people who, you know, they are unable to successfully document what they're doing.
The requirement in the House bill would apply to adults in the so-called Medicaid expansion population, whose incomes are slightly higher than the regular Medicaid population. Amber Lee, director of Protect Our Care Alaska, says most of the 76,000 Alaskans in this category are working already or qualify for one of the exemptions because they're raising a child, are disabled, or are entitled to care through the Indian Health Service. But Lee says documenting that monthly work would be a burden for the recipient and for the state, and it would fall on the same department that had such a hard time dealing with applications for SNAP, or food assistance.
I think most Alaskans remember that Alaska almost lost our SNAP benefits because of the enormous backlog that they had. So work requirements are going to be a huge lift for the state. We're going to have to build out the infrastructure to be able to do that.
Lee says having fewer insured Alaskans means higher cost for the entire healthcare system and everyone who relies on it.
It's not like it just goes up for the people who are getting kicked off insurance. It goes up for everybody because their people will wait to get healthcare until it's an emergency situation. They end up in the emergency room, and that increases costs for everybody because those are uncompensated costs.
The bill would also require co-pays for people who are in the Medicaid expansion population of up to $35 per medical service. The reconciliation bill is still in House committees. It's not certain to pass. Some Republicans don't like the Medicaid changes, and some don't like that it would add to the deficit by continuing tax breaks that were due to expire. Reporting from Washington, I'm Liz Ruskin.
Alaska has an affordable housing shortage, and inside that is an affordable construction material shortage. A startup near Fairbanks wants to help by putting made-in-Alaska construction materials to market. The company's goal is in line with President Trump's attempt to bring manufacturing back to America. But as the Alaska Desk's Shelby Herbert reports, the Trump administration is also freezing and cutting federal grants that have been key for the company to ramp up production.
It's a busy day at PanAlaska's pilot manufacturing plant in Fox. The one-room workshop looks and sounds like some kind of futuristic laundromat, with huge machines hypnotically churning, then intermittently blasting out big puffs of steam. Glenn Brady is the managing partner of the startup. He's pouring a jug of tiny white granules into a hopper. They're made of something called expandable polystyrene, which looks like the stuff you'd see if you sliced open a beanbag chair.
And then that gets further aged and conveyed into the mold where it either becomes insulation or the building panels.
Brady's the inventor of the Arctic Light Modular Structural System, insulated building panels that bolt together to make things like houses or commercial buildings. He's a third-generation Alaskan who has worked in construction and engineering his entire life. Brady says he designed the product with rural Alaska in mind. The panels can endure extreme Arctic temperatures and are easy to assemble in places where there isn't much of a labor pool for construction.
All of the good ideas that get brought in from outside fail to consider those hard realities. If it can't take getting rained on or frozen or dragged through the muck or operated at the hands of people that may need to set down the process and go do subsistence harvesting and come back, it's not going to succeed.
Brady's company is one of only a few in Alaska working to produce construction material in state. Most of the stuff used to build Alaska's houses comes from somewhere else, and the tyranny of distance often means it has a higher price tag. But the same issues PanAlaska is trying to help solve have also made it difficult for them to get off the ground. Here's Jen Pickett, the company's sustainability specialist.
Especially up here, we're at the end of the supply chain, and so supplies are difficult to get, and so is labor. You know, there's been a drain in Fairbanks for some time, in Alaska for some time. So there's been lots of challenges, you know, setting up your own business, of course.
Still, PanAlaska was looking forward to a big summer construction season. Brady says his startup was counting on up to $3 million for contracts to build about 30 houses in rural Alaska, which were partially funded by various federal agencies. But Brady says all of that came to a screeching halt due to recent pauses on government spending.
You know, at the worst possible time in Alaska's construction season, you know, when you're supposed to be getting things ready to go on barges and are planning for the season, so all these projects will literally miss the boat.
Brady was hoping to help move the needle on the housing shortage in Alaska. A 2023 Agnew-Beck study says Alaska needs to build or renovate about 28,000 housing units over the next decade to meet current demand. Chris Kolarok is the director of public policy for the Cook Inlet Housing Authority. He thinks more local manufacturing could help the state meet that goal. Kolarok says one of the biggest barriers to building more houses is distance. Getting stuff up here to build houses is just hard and expensive.
We've got an additional 1,800 road miles and or 1,600 nautical miles to transport stuff. And we can only break ground in May or June, right? When the ground is thawed, The long and short of it is our geographic location affects our ability to build houses because it increases cost.
And while the clock is ticking on the summer construction season for housing, Panalaska is pivoting to defense contracting. They're in talks with a few entities about how their insulation panels could be used for military purposes in things like airplanes. Still, Brady says he's holding tight to the idea that his product will be used to keep Alaska's future houses warm and affordable. Reporting in Fox, I'm Shelby Herbert.
In case you haven't seen it yet, our new and improved community calendar is up at KUCB.org. We hope you like the new format. And speaking of, here's what's on the community calendar for this week. A community open mic night has been rescheduled for tomorrow night. Head to the Bremer Road Chapel from 7 to 9 if you're a performer, poet, storyteller, musician, comedian, or if you just want to watch. Coffee and light refreshments will be available. Bring friends, family, and enthusiasm. All ages are welcome. For info on everything else happening in Unalaska, check out your community calendar at KUCB.org. That's the news from Unalaska. This is KUCB 89.7 FM. I'm your host, Andy Lusk. For more local coverage and community events, check out our website at KUCB.org. Stay tuned for your local and marine weather forecasts. Enjoy the weekend.
Thank you. sanity. Tax the rich, feed the poor, tell their old rich no more.
KSDP is generously supported by Precision Airways in Sandpoint, Alaska, offering chartered air services throughout the Aleutians Eastborough and beyond. For more information on charters and prices, Theo is available at 907-989-4080. Precision Airways is a proud sponsor of KSDP.
We'll be right back.
Information, give me Memphis, Tennessee. Help me find the party trying to get in touch with me. Could not leave a number, but I know who placed the call. My uncle took the message and he wrote it on the wall. Oh, help me, information, get in touch with my Marie. The only she's waving me goodbye with hurry home drops on her cheek that trickle from her eye. Marie was only 6 years old. Information, please. Try to put me through to her in Memphis, Tennessee.
You are listening to KSDP Radio, 830 AM Sandpoint, 88.1 FM on Translator, K201DA, King Cove, Alaska.
Just a silhouette.
Welcome to KSDP's Senior Spotlight Special, where we will be showcasing seniors from around the district. This special will be on Sandpoint School's Rowdy Tripp. Rowdy William Tripp was born September 5th, 2006 in Anchorage, Alaska. He is described by his parents as being handsome and athletic, and he is described as a smart and talented student. His favorite memory of high school was regionals in New Stew. The best advice he has for a successful high school career is to focus on getting good grades. Rowdy would like to thank Amy Eubank for always helping fundraising for all the activities throughout the years. He plans to go fishing after he graduates and attend college in the fall. Rowdy Tripp, we're proud of you, and on behalf of KSDP, congratulations.